The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So today I would like to talk about walking meditation, and especially about walking meditation as an open awareness practice. I have the idea that walking meditation is often less emphasized than sitting meditation. Like even during this class, we only sit, we don't walk. But the Buddha often emphasized that walking meditation is just as viable an option as sitting. And the same is accounts for also for standing and laying down meditation. These are all good options for our meditation practice. They are the four postures that are mentioned in the Satipatthana Sutta, the discourse that inspires a lot of the meditation instructions in the Vipassana tradition. And most of us prefer the sitting over the other three postures of standing, walking, and laying down. And in a way, it might be a little unfortunate since practicing in the other postures can bring sometimes some more balance to our own practice. Like, for example, if we need a little bit more energy, then walking or standing can really help. And when we are a bit sluggish or sleepy or dull, and we do some walking or standing meditation, then it can help us perk up again. And another example would be then sometimes our bodies are really tired. Maybe we've done a lot of physical work, but our minds are still sharp. Then laying down meditation can be really helpful to give the body some rest and to relax, while the mind just stays awake because it's still sharp. So in this way, we can use different postures for different situations. We can adjust our posture depending on how we are doing mentally and physically. I often use the walking meditation when I feel sleepy. And sometimes when I do meditation in the evening and I feel like I'm actually maybe a bit too tired to do meditation, and I just do some walking instead of sitting, because else I would just already fall asleep in my meditation. So, and sometimes the walking can even generate energy, which is also really nice if we're a little sleepy. And sometimes when the sleepiness or the sluggishness or the dullness comes from the hindrance, sloth and torpor hindrance, then the walking can really help us to generate some more energy again. So those are some of the benefits that the walking can give us or the other postures. And depending on how we feel, we may be wanting to practice in a different posture. And the Buddha has a little sutta, a very brief sutta on the benefits of walking meditation. So I'll share that with you because it's so short. And the sutta, it goes like this. Practitioners, there are these five benefits of walking meditation. What five? One becomes capable of journeys. One becomes capable of striving. One becomes healthy. What one has eaten, drunk, consumed, and tasted is properly digested. The concentration attained through walking meditation is long-lasting. These are the five benefits of walking meditation. End quote. So the Buddha identified five benefits. And the first one is that one becomes capable of journeys. And you can imagine that when you are in a retreat or in a monastery, and you do only sitting meditation, that you would get really out of shape. And you would not be able to go on a journey anymore. So the walking meditation can help us stay in shape so that we can still function in the world. And at the time of the Buddha, of course, a lot of the traveling went by foot. So monks and nuns who might be traveling from monastery to monastery, or would have to walk a little bit to go an alms round in the village, would benefit from doing walking meditation so they could still travel as well. The second benefit is that one becomes capable of striving. And this refers to the ability to meditate in itself. Some other translations are about striving to meditate, basically. The walking can support our overall meditation, since what I just mentioned, it balances things out. And when we incorporate it in our daily practice, then we might create a more balanced approach than when we only sit. Like what I said with the overcoming sleepiness or drowsiness, for example. And then the third benefit is that one becomes healthy. And that one, I think, is kind of obvious, because we all know that movement helps us to stay healthy, or to get healthy, or as healthy as we can, at least. And it's for most of us, of course. There are situations where movement might not be good, but just in general, in a general sense. The fourth benefit is that it aids our digestion. Well, I think that's also a known effect of movement. And movement stimulates the digestive tract to help us metabolize our food. And then the last benefit is that concentration attained through walking meditation is long-lasting, says the Buddha. And I think this is especially applicable to walking meditation in the more traditional way, and maybe less to when we walk as an open awareness practice. So I will briefly just describe the meditation in a more traditional way, and then go into the open awareness practice. So this way, the what I call the traditional way, that's my own label, is the way that is more often practiced in the Vipassana or insight tradition. Because the open awareness practice is not the norm in the insight tradition at this time. So if we go to a meditation center or a retreat center in the Vipassana tradition, like the retreat center in Santa Cruz, or the Insight Meditation Society in Massachusetts, or Spirit Rock in California, to name a few, then we are taught to walk a bit slower than we would normally do. And then pay close attention to our feet. And we really focus on the feet and let everything else go to the background. And often there is the instruction to label our experience, like that we label every step with stepping, or that we label the experience of lifting of the foot with lifting, and then the placing of the foot with placing. And in that way, we can keep our attention at that at the foot that is moving, basically, by using a label. And that's a great way to do walking meditation, because when we practice in this way, then some concentration gets cultivated. That was the first benefit, or the last benefit, that the Buddha pointed out. So practicing in this way will help focus the mind and calm the mind. And it is because we pay such close attention to one object. And in this case, it's the feet, or even one foot, the moving foot. And then we exclude all other sensations and experiences. We don't pay any attention to anything else. That's the goal. And of course, other stuff will come up, but we just go back to the foot if something else comes up. So this single focusedness is really useful in gathering our attention and in calming the mind and cultivating concentration. So it is a very worthwhile practice. And I regularly use this method also in my own practice to help calm the mind or support the arising or stabilizing of concentration. And also, for example, when the mind is all over the place, then sometimes the walking meditation in this more focused way can help calm the mind down a little bit and help to let the thoughts go to the background. But it's not the only way of doing walking meditation. And the Buddha taught us not that much, actually, about walking meditation. He didn't give us like a super clear instruction. In the Satipatthana Sutta, he said, Basically, when you are walking, know that you're walking, which is a very basic instruction. And that this also makes that it's very much open for interpretation. So I think there are different ways to do walking meditation evolved over the centuries, because different teachers just interpret this instruction in a different way. So I personally don't think that there is a right or wrong way to do the walking meditation. There might just be different styles that suit different people. And different people might also change from time to time. Like I use both also the open awareness that I'm going to talk about in a little bit, and also the more focused walking practice, depending on what I need at the time, basically. So, besides the slower walking meditation, we also have the open awareness walking meditation. And this is something that I primarily learned from my teacher, Sayadaw Utechania, a Burmese monk. And it was funny when he asked, Sayadaw, do you do walking meditation? He answered, no, I don't do walking meditation. I meditate while I walk. So he didn't even want to label it walking meditation. And I think that points to how we can meditate during every activity. We don't have to do like a vacuuming meditation or a gardening meditation. We can just meditate while vacuuming, gardening, whatever we're doing. And so the same for the walking. We can meditate while we walk. And when we meditate while we walk, then we can apply those same principles of open awareness as we would during sitting meditation or any other activity that we do with open awareness. So that is really different than from this traditional way of walking meditation that I just described, because when we do open awareness walking meditation, just to give it a label of walking meditation, we can walk in a pace that feels natural to us. We don't have to slow down at all. And Sayadaw actually advises to not slow down, but just to follow the natural pace that the body prefers, like we're going on a normal walk. Also, we can be aware of anything that arises in our experience. So we don't have to focus on one area of the body, like the foot, like the feet. And when we practice the open awareness, we can be aware of anything that happens at any of the six sense doors. So the six sense doors are hearing, seeing, tasting, smelling, touching, and everything in the mind. And the mind includes thoughts, emotions, and feelings, etc. So we basically open up to all that is happening. And we follow where our attention goes, to wherever it is, to whatever is predominant in our experience. So the slowed down, focused way of walking meditation that I described, so that contributes more to the cultivation of concentration, while the open awareness way of walking contributes more to mindfulness or awareness. And that's a little rough of a divide, because you can't really separate concentration and mindfulness like that. Because when you cultivate mindfulness, you'll also automatically cultivate concentration. And when you cultivate concentration, you will also always need some mindfulness. So, but just in the general tendency, the slower, more traditional walking practice leans towards cultivating more concentration, while the open awareness practice leans towards cultivating more mindfulness and more awareness. So, one thing that is interesting during the open awareness walking compared to, for example, sitting in open awareness or doing the slow walking, is that we can also pay attention to sights, because we pay attention to everything, so also sights. And for many of us, sight is a more predominant sense door. Not for everyone, but for many of us. And Alexis Santos, who is also a teacher in Sayadaw Utechania style, he said that if we cultivate awareness of seeing, that then we can be aware of almost all situations. So if we just get more skilled in the awareness of seeing, it's very useful. And it's also very interesting, because most of us probably don't practice opening our eyes during our formal sits. It's actually something that Sayadaw does encourage to do, open-eyed practice. But for most of us, we don't do that often, and it's more of an underdeveloped area. So we might need a little bit of practice in the beginning to be aware of sights and seeing. And a walking practice is an excellent way to start practicing with being aware of seeing, since the seeing is already naturally happening. And Sayadaw, he points out that there is a difference between seeing and looking. Seeing is more passive. There's just like this basic level of sights coming in, while looking is more active. We really look at something. We recognize what it is. There's kind of a little bit of attention stuck on the object, maybe. And when we start to, it can be useful to be aware of this difference. And when we start to become aware of the difference, then we can see where there's a little bit of stuckness maybe in our attention. Is the attention like just glancing if we're walking around? Or is there a little bit of interest in an object? So seeing the difference between the seeing and the looking helps us to see if there's a little bit of stuckness or a little bit of maybe aversion or desire going on. And when I learned this for the first time, or when I started learning this and I started practicing with it, this difference between seeing and looking, I realized that there is also a difference between hearing and listening, and the same for the other sense doors. And there's a way in which we engage with what happens at the sense doors to a more or lesser degree. And this makes that there is a difference between seeing and looking, or hearing and listening. So we can also apply that to the other sense doors, although I don't really have a good language for those. But it's a difference in a little bit of attention there, or a little bit of stuckness, or a little bit of craving or aversion behind it, maybe. So maybe we can do a short exercise together to practice a little bit with this seeing and looking. What we could do is, you could just look around the room, maybe not stare at the screen, because then we're staring at each other. and then be aware of just the seeing is happening. A simple knowing that there's seeing. And just as you would know there's hearing happening, or there's a body sensation happening, we can also be aware of the simple fact that seeing is happening. It doesn't cost much effort to know that seeing is happening. And then maybe you can also notice if there is one or more objects in the room that kind of, get your attention stuck. Or even if it's just a tiny bit that your attention wants to linger somewhere. And that might be that you're looking. Like a little bit of like aversion, or a little bit of desire. Maybe you see a beautiful plant and you want to hang out with the plant a little longer. Or you see a pile of mail that you need to go through and you're like, ugh, oh, I need to do that. So you can see if something like that happens. And it's just no judgment or anything, just to being aware of the difference. We can end the exercise. And the same way, we can be aware of seeing when we are doing walking meditation. Just being aware of what happens when we see, how we process the sights. And I wanted to single out this sense door since it's usually so underemphasized in meditation, just in general. And it adds so much to our daily life meditation and our walking meditation when we are aware of seeing and looking. And just to reemphasize that, it's not about a judgment when we look, but more about an investigation and getting curious about what happens, how it feels when we're looking, and how it feels when we're just seeing. So the huge advantage of the open awareness style of walking meditation is that, yeah, that we don't have to call it a meditation. We don't have to do it at a specific time. We can do it anytime we are walking. Even when we walk from the bedroom to the living room or the kitchen to the couch or whatever we're doing over in the supermarket, or when we just go on a walk in the neighborhood or in nature. And no one has to really know that you're actually meditating while you're walking, which can't really be said from the slower walking meditation technique, because if you're going through your neighborhood like step by step, really slow, you probably get stared at a little bit. So, but if you're just walking in a normal pace and you're just aware of all the things happening at the six sense doors, no one really knows what is happening. Or when you're going to the supermarket. And I've noticed how interesting it is to just apply this to all situations that I'm in when I'm walking. And when I take a walk through the neighborhood, I'm aware of the body moving, the feet on the earth, seeing the road, seeing the houses and the trees. There might be smells from the flowers or from freshly mowed grass, sounds from traffic or other people talking, or like all kinds of thoughts, and being gone in thoughts as well. And, you know, just as with the sitting meditation awareness, all sorts of things just start popping up, and the attention will be gone and it will come back again. Emotions and feelings will arise. Like sometimes when I walk and I walk through a quiet part of the neighborhood, really nice, and then I get to like a busy road and I'm like, oh, it's aversion coming up. Really seeing these patterns is really interesting. So it's, yeah, it can be a really rich experience to incorporate this in our daily walks, no matter how short of a distance it is. Yeah, we don't have to like pay attention to anything specific. We can just let the attention go wherever it wants to go and just bring awareness to the whole process. No matter what happens on our walk, we can just incorporate everything. Like when we have to wait for a traffic light, we can be aware of the standing, the seeing, the sounds. Maybe impatience comes up, or maybe patience, or suddenly we feel like, oh wait, the sun is shining and I feel the warmth on my face. Or when someone approaches us when we're walking and starts talking to us, we can be aware of the listening and the talking, any feelings that might come up. Yeah, or maybe you're walking your dog and your dog starts to pull on the leash, being aware of the pulling sensation and the unpleasantness of that. Well, there are numerous examples that we can have, of course. But I don't think there's any right way of practicing the walking meditation, because sometimes when we listen to like one of the big Burmese meditation masters, then we get the impression like, oh, that's the only right way to do this meditation. And then you listen to another Burmese meditation master and then you think, oh, that's the only right way. While actually in reality, there might not be just one right way to practice. And I personally think that it is useful to know several different ways to practice so that we can see what works for us and also use different ways in different situations. Like in some situations, one method might work better than in another situation. So, and like I already said, that the open awareness during our daily life is much more suitable if we're walking through a neighborhood than the slow walking. But maybe when we're sleepy, it might be, well, when we're sleepy, it actually doesn't really matter too much which one we do. But if we want to cultivate concentration, we might want to go for the slower walking and pay attention to really one area of the body, calming the mind and the body. So we can see those both of those ways as just tools in our meditation toolbox that we can use whenever it is appropriate. And the basic thing that we're working towards is that we are moving towards less and less suffering and more happiness. And with that goal in mind, it's all about what supports our practice in any given moment. And that's not to say that you should always go where it's easiest, because sometimes we need to persevere with the practice a little bit for a while, even if it's not that easy. But it is to say to maybe learn to discern what practice is most supportive, even if it's not that easy. And we do that by trying things out and observing how it works for us in the short and the long run. And sometimes we only know if a practice will be supportive only after a while of trying it out. Like if we try out something new, then we often have a little bit of a bias, negativity bias sometimes towards it. So we might have to try it several times to, you know, maybe to let it grow on us, as they say in English. So don't throw it out right away, but try to, you know, give it a chance each practice. And I'll end with a quote from Sayadaw Utteswaraya. He says, "Meditator's job is to remember to be aware. Whether you are standing, sitting, lying down, or walking, if you remember that you are aware, then you are meditating, and you are cultivating this wholesome quality of mind." End quote. So, we have some time for questions, sharings. Also welcome to put it in the chat.
I just want to say thank you for this reminder about the different ways and about the different, if you will, mind states that they can relate to. Very helpful. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. Yeah. Good to know.
Yeah. I can get so caught up in the cognitive analytical aspect of walking. It's the knee going out, and there is the calculus reaching the.
Oh.
It becomes.
You're breaking up a little bit.
Sorry, is that better?
Yeah.
Okay, I've had trouble with the audio. I just tend to get extremely analytical, anatomically analytical, and you know, there's a lot of fussing that I bring into the awareness. I mean, I guess. You know, being mindful of that, just being with that, because that's what it is. And anyway, thank you. This was opening up a lot about walking meditation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And yeah, that's great that you're saying that you're noticing it and just being aware of, oh, that's present right now. So yeah, that's a wonderful way of you know, dealing with that analytical and I don't know if it helps to also be aware of other sense doors. Like sometimes, I mean, often it's useful to just go with where the attention goes. And sometimes it can be useful to direct the attention a little bit too. To direct the attention to something more neutral, like the sights, maybe seeing, or to sounds, or if you're walking through the neighborhood and you smell flowers, that you start to pay attention to that, for example. Just to give our minds a little break too sometimes. And then come back to the analytical part again and see what happens there. But just give ourselves a little break here and there. Yeah. Oh, yeah, two at the same time.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. It's very hot in the Bay Area. And I found it very difficult to try to meditate on my own. So I joined, and I was really happy to see this is going on. I was thinking about how you started a sitting meditation. And I really liked it that after you invite us to settle the body, you go directly to the sixth sense door, which is the mind, because my mind was really busy, really busy. So you go right into there. It's very skillful, very helpful. And actually, I was hoping I would be doing a walking meditation, but I think, you know, after the session is over, I would do some walking. I will want meditate when I walk. Yeah, thank you.
That's great.
I really enjoyed it. Thanks.
Great. Yeah, thanks for sharing. It's yeah, I heard there was some heat wave in the Bay Area, and it's interesting to be aware of the heat and the discomfort, and also when you're going to walk in a little bit, to be aware of all that part of your experience. Yeah, the aversion. Yeah. Yeah, great. You wanted to share too, Kate?
Yeah, I'm really glad that you brought this up, because I have a horrible relationship with walking meditation. The way of learning it, what you're calling the traditional way, always has brought up I shouldn't say always, but often has brought up a lot of tension in the body because of the really slowness. And I just noticed every way that my hip is working or not working, or, you know, whatever. And I feel like I lose my balance, and just, you know, it's often a lot of unpleasant happening there. However, I also often feel that a way to cultivate more concentration, more focus, you know, would be to do walking meditation. As opposed to that kind of walking meditation, as opposed to, walking and being aware, the Sayadaw Tejaniya thing, which is more that what I do when I'm on a deeper, longer retreat, and then that works okay. Well, the last time that I was with Kamala Masters, she suggested this thing that was like, ended up being a very cool combination of the two. And I did it while I was on Maui, but I haven't done it since. And this is inspiring me to do it. And do you want me to I can briefly tell what it is. It's there's four parts, and it can either be the way that I worked with it was for a section of time. And if you're doing a back and forth, you can do one section, or if you're just walking just for a period of time, you focus on stepping, 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 stepping. So it's very located in the low, you know, the kind of traditional lower part of the body, feet on the ground. Then you move to seeing, but it's really just the seeing kind of right in front of you. And then you open to hearing. And then the last one is moving. So it's like just the sense of motion. And she said, you can either do it from moving down to stepping. So you come from wide to narrow, or the other way. For me, it worked best to do the stepping. And that was really kind of cool, because it allowed me to move at a normal pace and to do it outdoors and, you know, on a long walk, but it was developing concentration. So just something to share. And I'm gonna I'm intentioning to do that more in my life because I really dropped it after I got back into regular life.
Yeah, that's great. And it's, you know, just another tool that we can use. So it's great that you shared that for everyone. Yeah, it sounds like a very fruitful way of doing it. So yeah, I'll try it out too. Thanks for sharing. And it's often that that a lot of people have this aversive relationship with walking meditation. And I've also heard a lot of people who had a lot of aversion towards it. And then at some point, they started to feel like it's more supportive for their practice. So often because we are going through like a meditation class or something, we are kind of forced to do walking meditation. In some classes, they do that, especially when you're in person. And then at some point you might see like, oh wait, it's actually starting to support me instead of that it's only aversive, you know, version coming up. So just keep going with it could be a strategy as well. And I mean, a talk like this and hearing the benefits and hearing the different ways in which it can be applied can be very helpful too, to maybe be less aversive or having a different way of doing walking, like Kate is suggesting, can be very beneficial. Like, oh, this is working for me if I do it like this. If I do it in this more traditional way, slow, it's not working for me. But if I do something else, it works much better. Or, you know, we can maybe be creative for ourselves as well and see how it can work for us. And not to force anything. I mean, if we never do walking meditation, we can still get enlightened. So it's not like a necessary thing. Awakening is more about our attention and our awareness and our insights than about the posture that we're in. So, yeah, as long as there's some balance in our energy and our effort, we don't get like too sluggish, but only sitting, for example. Any other thoughts, suggestions? Yeah, Jeff.
Similar to what Kate was saying, I've done walking meditation, doing my power walk actually. And so it's 5 minutes of focus on breath, and then 5 minutes of focus on body, and then hearing. And then mind states, and then open awareness, and then closing with breath. So it's just similar kind of thing, but a more focused meditation rather than just open awareness.
Yeah, that sounds good too. Yeah.
And that transition from concentration to open awareness while walking is so cool. There's just like this, everything's so vivid by that point, right? It's lots of pleasure.
Yeah, and then you see so much detail, and like, and you're more in the zone, maybe. Yeah, that's cool. Thanks for sharing.